Well, today we want to celebrate our graduates and graduation. And for some of us in the room, it may have been a few years ago that that happened. Or maybe many, many years ago since that happened. We celebrate these moments in our lives because we know that they are significant. They are transition times. They are situational periods in our life where we know that we'll never be the same. And so for those of you who are in that category, you're graduating, whether it's from elementary to middle school or middle school up to high school to college, college into career, or if you've gone past that and it's been years ago since you were in school, I want you to hear what we have to say today, because I really believe that there are some truths that we'll take out of today's passage that we can apply into our life no matter what stage that we're in, because we're constantly, I don't care what your age is or where you're at in life, there is constantly transitional times. There's times where one thing was one way one day and it's another way another day. Maybe it's job change, maybe you're changing your house, maybe it's situations inside your life that you're altering it, and things are new tomorrow and different from today. And so these things, I believe, that we can look at out of this passage will apply to all of us. But for those of you who are graduating, I want you to especially hear this, because I know you think that you've come to the end of the road, but really you're just getting started. And so today I've called my sermon Starting Line. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Now, a little bit of backstory here. Most of us know the story about the Israelites, that they had been in captivity for hundreds of years by the Egyptians, and God had sent Moses to lead them out of Egypt. Moses led them to Mount Sinai, received the Ten Commandments, received the Word of God and the commands of how to set up a new nation, the nation of Israel. But when he went to the land that they were to claim, they acted out of fear, and they came back and gave a bad report. And they said, "We can't go in there. Those people are giants. We are nothing." And so God said to them, "This generation will pass away, and there will be a next generation to inherit this nation." And for 40 years, they wandered the desert. 40 years of drudgery, of get up, walk, camp, sleep, get up, walk, camp, sleep, get up, walk, camp, sleep. For those of you who are in middle school, high school, and college, does that sound familiar? I was a nerd, and so I liked school. And I know that I'm looking back in time. I probably didn't like it at the time as much as I thought I did. But now that I'm working, I loved school. Now that I pay bills, that algebra test really wasn't that hard. But I know when you're in the moment, though, it feels like that. For those, I know I've walked through it the last 3 years with my daughter through high school, and I walk through it with my son as he's like, "Oh, I don't want to go to school." It's like, oh, if I could only have it as easy as you. Write a 3-page paper, no problem, right? Pay the mortgage this month, there you go. But we have this idea in our life that where we're at is the worst thing ever, and it's the end of it. We get to the end and we celebrate the end of the desert time, and it's something to celebrate. And for those of you graduating from school and you're moving on to college or moving on to career, man, it is something to celebrate. But there's some things I think that we can learn from this time in Israel's nation that we can apply to your life as graduates and into our lives and any time we have transition. So where we pick up the story is that they've moved into the place where they're about to go into the nation of Israel, or what is to become the nation of Israel. Moses has passed away. Joshua, the next generation leader, has taken over, and he's about to lead them in to the promised land. That's where we pick up in Joshua chapter 3, beginning in verse 2. "After 3 days, the officers went around the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. but keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it and they went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. So Joshua went and said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord of our God. This is how that you know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanite, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, mosquito bites, the Jezebites, the people who dwelled in the land. See, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. So they chose 12 men and they carried it in. Verse 14, the people broke camp to cross the Jordan. The priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan was at its flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam. Verse 17, the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry land while all Israel passed until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. The Israelites had waited 400 years to be set free. Then they waited another 40 years of walking in the desert to get to the promised land that God had for them. Now, whether you're a graduate or you're just changing jobs or you're changing positions within a company, you're retiring, whatever your transition may be, whatever there's a change in our life, in the life of the church, in the life of any organization, there's a transition that there comes a time where we want to come to the end of one thing and begin another. And I believe that there's about five principles that we can learn from this passage. The first principle is this: you still need to follow God. You still need to follow God. In Joshua 3:3, it says that when the ark of the, he told the people, when the ark goes by, you follow it. The ark was the physical representation of God here on earth. Now they had been following him day and night for 40 years. And sometimes we have a tendency to get to the end of something. We want to run on ahead, don't we? I know it's true. I've been there, and I've heard from the seniors in high school who've said 2 weeks ago, I'm just done. Can we just graduate, right? Then they had these pesky finals in between. Am I right? Yes, I'm getting some head nods back here. There's still a process at the finish. You have to finish well, and then you need to still follow God. They've been following him for 40 years. They could have just ran on ahead. I mean, they could see the promised land. If sometimes you just see something that you want, you just run into it, right? Now, you know my family, we talk about this, and you probably get tired of me talking about Disneyland, but we love Disney. And you get there, and you know, you've spent 14 hours in the car, and you've planned, you've talked about this for months, and you get there, and you want to just run in. I mean, this is the happiest place on earth. We want to run into this place. But then there's this really long line of other people and these guys in uniforms, and they're checking bags, and you have to have a ticket. Can you believe that? Like, there's a process to get in, and God's giving them a process, saying, hey, look, I know you're excited. I know you are, but you can't just run into this thing. You still need to follow me. So when we come to the end of a transition time, or the end of one thing and transition to something new, we can't stop following God. We have to continue to follow him. The success of his leadership in the wilderness gave them the trust to continue to follow him. When you look back in your life, whatever the situation may be, maybe it was you being in school, maybe it was in a certain job, maybe it was a certain time in life, that when we look back on that and we see how God led us in times, that should give us encouragement to trust Him for the new thing and the way that the new transition is going. He led us in the past, He'll lead us again. The problem is that we have to follow Him. Second thing is that you need to stay ready. You need to stay ready. Now, specifically for graduates, for those of you who are in high school and you're getting ready to go off to college for the first time, and for those of you who are going to go off to college away from home, you've lived under what you thought was this dictatorship that were your parents, right? But what you don't realize was that you were living under this umbrella of protection and love. And mom's and dad's umbrella is pretty big. I don't know how far it may reach. It will reach across the country. And they will pray for you and they will be with you. But you've got to leave. You have certain responsibilities now that you didn't have when you were at home. And so in this situation, Israel is getting ready to move into their new nation. And they were going to quit being this vagabond group of camp, get up, walk, camp, get up, walk. And every day communing with God through Moses, through the Levites, through the Ark of the Covenant. And now they're going to move into a nation where they're going to establish themselves. And they're going to build houses and they're going to farm fields and they're going to build businesses. And they're going to do daily life. And sometimes when you get into daily life, God knew, you will probably have a chance to walk away from me. Now, if you're a high school grad and you're getting ready to go off to college for the first time, or you're a college grad and you're getting ready to go get your first career and your first house and all that new stuff, you're going to transition to a time that it's tempting to go away from God. You get busy. Mom and dad's not there Sunday morning to say, get up, go to church, come on. But I want us to look back on Joshua 3:5 here and look what he says. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things with you. See, you have to stay ready, because to consecrate is to prepare, sanctify yourself, to make yourself righteous, to make yourself usable. Paul writes about it in the New Testament. He says that we are all vessels that God can use, but we have to be cleansed to be ready to be used. Now, for us non-graduates in our own life, every day we have to prepare ourselves, because we don't know what God wants to do with us tomorrow. There's a proverb that says that the wicked flee though no one pursues them, but the righteous stand as bold as lions. When we are righteous, when we are in Christ, and we are sanctified with Him, and we are holy with Him, and we are in communion with Him, nothing will come against us. Nothing can scare us. We are bold as lions. But when we have sin in our life, when we have a secret that we don't want others to know, we keep people at arms of length, including God. And Satan loves that. And he will pick us off one by one. So we have to stay consecrated. We have to stay holy. We have to stay in Him. Now, what does that look like for us now as Christians? For us as Christians, that means that we need to be sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have to be in communion with Him first. First and foremost, we have to be a Christian. Once we are, we have to remain daily with Him. Our position in Him doesn't change. Ephesians chapter 1, that we are adopted into sonhood and daughterhood. We are in Christ. That will not change. But like all parents, there's sometimes when your children are disobeying, you can't bless them while they're in disobedience. Joshua is telling his people of Israel, you are about to go into this land of blessing. You have to prepare yourself, because God's going to do an amazing thing tomorrow. This reminds me of a story of my brother who one day decided that he was going to run a 10K, although he never practiced before. He's thinking, he was about 30 at the time. He's like, I'm still in pretty good shape. I run a little bit. He goes to the gym a couple of times a week. He runs usually 3 or 4 miles. Start and stop. But he's like, I can go do a 10K. He called me the next day. He's like, Jason, what was I thinking? I don't know. You didn't prepare. You weren't ready. Now, subsequently, that he's actually running. He is running one this summer, but he's been actually practicing and running, and he's 42 now, and it's a little different. He's like, it's still hard, but he's preparing himself. And why would athletes do that? Why would people prepare themselves for those things? But yet, we so often in our own spiritual walk don't prepare for tomorrow by doing the right thing today. But we just think that we're going to show up tomorrow or next week or whenever, and God's just going to pour a blessing out on us, and we're not ready to receive it. Now, I have a very favorite coffee mug at home. I love to use it. It's got New York Yankees on it. Yeah, well, I know those St. Louis Cardinal fans, bless your hearts. It's okay to be second best in the major league, so. We won't go there. But I love this coffee mug, and I don't know, coffee just tastes better in it. I don't know, I just love it. But every once in a while, somebody else will use that mug, or occasionally just put other things in it, or like worse is like you get that sink full of dishes and like other stuff has contaminated the mug. You know what I'm talking about? Like you maybe fried chicken or you did something and like it's, why is this mug in this like greasy water? You have defamed the mug. It is not ready to receive the blessing of coffee so that I may be blessed. And I know that seems so maybe childish or simple, but God, he sees us as our favorite mug, and he wants to pour into you to be a blessing to other people. Now, I have to take that cup out, and I have to wash it, and I'll wash it a second time because I want this to be clean, because I really want to enjoy the coffee. I don't want, you know, other taste in it. So God says to the people of Israel, prepare yourself, concentrate. So those of you who are graduating, moving off to college, those of you who are moving into career, or for those of us who are just in life, day to day, prepare yourself today what God may want to do with you tomorrow. Let him clean you up so he can pour into you. The next thing that we see is that you can be rooted in the past and original at the same time. Now, here's the thing that I know it was 30 years ago for me that I was in high school and being that young. For some of us, it may have been longer. But do you remember back when we were like 17, 18 years old? You remember how you knew everything? This is how I thought. Well, I remember having this conversation with my dad. And just him telling me, he's like, okay, go ahead. Come back to me in a couple of years. And boy, I remember that day when I had to come back and be like, remember that thing? You were right. But then there's been some things in my life that I did that were based on my parents and based on my heritage, based on what I knew was right, but I did it in a new way. I mean, I grew up in a church where you had to sing out of a hymnal. You know, turn to page 272, 163, and 142, and we're going to sing the first verse of this and the chorus of that and the second chorus of this one. Go back to the third chorus of that with the verse of this one. That's not an exaggeration. There are others in this church that went to that church, and they will tell you. And we did that because we did that accompanied by a nationally registered pipe organ. And it was an amazing instrument. Don't get me wrong. I've been back and looked at them. We weren't allowed to touch anything. But, you know, it was an amazing instrument. It took up like a whole building, just this one pipe organ. And it's just, wow. So I was rooted, though, in that verse-by-verse singing and worshiping of God. And I was rooted by the verse-by-verse study of God's Word. And I was rooted into a life that says, Jesus Christ is alive, and He's part of my life, and that He affects my daily decisions and my daily walk. That was rooted in me. But obviously now, 30-something odd years later, I express that in a totally different way. Now, I happen to have a suit coat on today. I normally don't. I don't wear a tie very often. But I don't think I ever saw my pastor not in a three-piece suit. It doesn't, the method of it, the originality of how that we express God now, it may change. But the rooted truth of His Word and that thing that is the heritage that is so valuable doesn't change. In this story, we see it this way in Joshua 3:7. He tells Joshua, he says, "Today I will begin to exalt you." This is the Lord speaking to Joshua. "Today I will exalt you in the eyes of all Israel so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses." That's the rooted in the past statement. The people were able to look at Moses and knew that God was with him. And how did they know that? One of the ways that they knew that was because when they got to the Red Sea and the Egyptians were barreling down on them, about to kill them, Moses, through God's instruction, raised his staff and split the Red Sea so that the people could walk across on dry land. Now, we are still talking about it a few thousand years later. You can imagine that they were still talking about it. Now, this was the next generation. There was a handful of people who still were around from that day. Most of them were the second and third generation. They were the kids and grandkids of the people who walked across on dry land, but you know that they knew the story. So in Joshua 3:13, God does a similar thing, but does it differently. And He says, "Tell the priest to take the ark and walk into the water." And what I love about it is that it says that it's flooded. It's flooded. Now, those of us who live around here, we live close to the Ohio River. You may have remembered back about a month or two ago when they had all that rain. And you remember you go down to the river and you go across the bridge into Kentucky and you could look across. You came upon the water of the Ohio River miles before you got to that bridge. Why? Because it was flooded. Now, the Jordan floods. And I don't know if you know this about flooding water. It's not a still water. It's moving and has current, and it's dangerous. So I can you imagine what the Levites, the priest of that morning, thought when Joshua said, "Here's what we're going to do. You guys take the ark," which, by the way, is like super heavy, made out of gold and wood, and is sacred. No one can touch it. It's God's own presence. He said, "I want you to pick 12 guys." And they're like, "Okay, this is an honor. We get to carry the ark." And then they tells the next part, "And then you're going to walk into the Jordan." Now, this is not in the Bible, so I'm just going to tell this story like I see it. I'm sure there may have been somebody who's like, but, you know, when we got to the Red Sea, Joshua, it was the leader that went to the water. And he was the one who separated him. But God's doing a new thing. So for you graduates, take the things that your mom and dad have poured into you, that your church, your youth group, whoever it is, mentors have poured into you. For those of us who are not graduating, if we're making a transition, for that time that somebody poured into you, maybe it was a boss, a coworker, a mentor, somebody who gave you instruction, who gave you guidance, And you take it and you use that as a foundation. But know that sometimes God will do something similar but different in your life. So parents, when your children go off to college or they come home, they will be different. It doesn't mean that they're wrong. If they're still rooted with the Lord and God's doing something different in them, celebrate that. And sometimes that means that they're going to be going into some flooded water and it's going to be really hard for you to trust. But just like those 12 Levites that day, they trusted Joshua, they trusted the Lord, they went into the river and they parted it. And Israel crossed on dry land. Boy, you can be original, but stay rooted in the past. Fourth thing, obedience can remove obstacles. Obedience can remove obstacles. Joshua 3, 15 and 16 says that the river was flooded, that they went in there even though it was scary, and it removed the obstacle of the river. Sometimes it's difficult to do the right thing. Sometimes it's challenging to do the right thing. I mean, sometimes we want to go up to this river and go, I don't, you know what? That's too much. I can't cross it. I see God's promise on the other side, but God, it's just too much to get over to it. I can't get there. And maybe you've had times, maybe you're like me, sometimes God has given some very clear instructions, either through his word or through prayer or from somebody you trust and advised you and guided you, and you know that they're giving wise counsel, but you're like, but that's still hard. You're asking me to go into this scary place. This obstacle is scary. This transition is scary. It frightens me. But God's telling us that he can't remove the obstacles unless we're obedient. What if the Levites had said, I'm not going in? I'm not going to do it. Well, 40 years early, 12 men made a decision not to follow God, and it caused Israel to walk around for 40 years. If these 12 men who had been elected to lead them, and people didn't, and they didn't do their due diligence to do what they were supposed to do, then people could not have followed them. And that obstacle would have remained, and it would have been a problem, and Israel never would have received the blessing and fulfilled God's promises. But that transition took place because there was obedience. Graduates, as you move into your next part of your life, remain obedient. There's going to be some challenges in your life. There are things that you think that you've been challenged and that people have come against you and tempted you and given you turmoil. There is no place probably on this earth, well, maybe some places, but there's very few places in the United States that's more venomous against the Christian faith than our higher education system. I remember that. I went to a state college, and I remember sitting in my sociology class and my sociology professor just proclaiming unashamedly being an atheist and just wanting to know who's Christians in the room, and myself and a few others raised our hands, and we became his projects for that semester to try to convince us, and he would specifically bring in articles and attack Christianity and the silliness of faith and religion in general. And that's going to be an obstacle for us. But we have to be obedient, and graduates, be obedient as you go into your next place. And boy, that river is going to be raging, and it's when you feel like it's going to carry you away, but be obedient, and he can remove the obstacles. Lastly is this, provisions lead to challenges. Boy, the Israelites, they come across this river that's flooded and it's raging and it's crazy and it's scary. And they're like, great, how are we supposed to get across to the promised land? And they have this miracle happen and it's like, yay. And maybe in your own life you've had that. An obstacle came up, something happened, and then the obstacle is removed and then you get across. And here's what they find on the other side. Joshua 3, verse 16, the second part. It says that it piled up, and then it was crossed. They crossed over opposite of Jericho. That doesn't do us justice. Let me paint the picture. Now, most of us may know Jericho. Jericho was so big, they used to do chariot races on the wall. Jericho was so fortified that it was just kind of common knowledge. No one could take this town. And you know what God does? God's like, hey, you just walked around for 40 years, and you go into this nation that you're supposed to take over in my name, and you're going to, first of all, come against this river that's an obstacle. I'm going to show you how to get over it or through it. And then on the other side of this, we're going to start off with kind of a, you know, like a soft pitch, real easy, let's take this little town. No. He leads them to Jericho. So graduates, boy, you are so excited, and I think you should totally celebrate graduating from high school, graduating from college. But boy, you're going to have that obstacle of finally letting go of mom and dad and getting off to college. And then guess what? You're going to face Jericho. Because I've been there, and those of us who went to college have all been there. That moment when mom and dad get back in their car and their van, and they drive off, and you're like, yeah, freedom, woo! And then Monday, you wake up, and depending on the size of your school, there may be hundreds or thousands of people all cramming into this one registrar office to make sure that they have their list of right classes, and you're like, what, I don't know what is this building and what are all these numbers and what am I supposed to do and who's this professor and who's this? Because you just left high school where you were a senior and you knew every inch of that school and you were top dog and all the teachers knew you and you knew all the teachers and it was that you just got celebrated and you walk onto this class, onto this campus and the people look at you and go, who are you? Well, you're going to face your Jericho. That's why we need to follow God. That's why we have to sanctify ourselves and be connected with Him. That's why we still need to be obedient. And even though we are still rooted in the past, we're going to do things differently. You may be the first one to go to college, or you may go to college that was different than your mom and dad's college. You're going to be different. For those of us who aren't graduates, we don't know what tomorrow may bring. And God may bring us to a challenge and bring us through the challenge only for us to get to the next challenge. We've all come to those Jordans in our life that are scary and it's flooded and I don't know how I'm going to get across it. And He shows us a way and we get through it and we're celebrating that we got past it only to look up and see the walls of Jericho. That's the exact time we have to double down and obey and follow. That's the exact time that even though it doesn't make any sense to us, that we just stay faithful to Him and prepare our hearts and prepare ourselves and consecrate ourselves because the Lord is going to do amazing things tomorrow. Whether you're a graduate, a retiree, in between, these principles don't change. There's always transition. There's always change in our life. How we handle it in a godly way makes all the difference. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We are so thankful that we have your word to guide us. Those of us who are in Christ, that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. God, I just pray for us to have the courage and the wisdom to be obedient, to follow you. God, help us to prepare ourselves today for what tomorrow may bring. And God, when we get across this obstacle and we face the next challenge, may we continue to still be faithful to follow you. We do all this to bring glory to your name.